Hello and welcome to part two of Binge with Ben, the first five episodes of season six. Since this is a part two, logically, I'm here to let you know that it'd be a good idea to listen to part one of Binge with Ben, the first five episodes of season six. One, because you'll understand the context of what we're talking about now, and two, the first couple episodes of season six have a really, really big momentous event. That's why we're only covering these couple episodes for the whole series. Really big spoiler. Very important to the show and where it ends up going. So it's important that, one, if you want to listen to it, you listen to part one first. It'd be better if you watch the show, NYPD Blue, currently on Hulu. But with the case of season 6, episode 5, Hulu does not have the full edits. They have the syndication edits. So actually, before we started this podcast, we watched season 6, episode 5. Not important. What is important, you're here right now. I suggest listening to part one. Thank you for listening to this now. Have a good one. I'll talk to you at the end. Peace. But I also, and I don't know, because I know you watched just the episodes, you watched them once. I think they were leading the idea that he was sick before the cuts. Because he was having trouble breathing like the first morning he wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes to the dentist before he gets cut, he's kind of like having trouble breathing. And I think they put in those cuts kind of like a...
Oh, it could be this infection. It could be this.
Yeah, and there's so much of this... So much of those four episodes are, maybe it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point where one of my favorite scenes of season six, when Arthur Fancy convinces a woman to take her husband's heart in the span of like a minute, which is hilarious to me. And we talked about it at length in the podcast because I was like, this is not a scene that should last less than like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is grieving. Her husband is going to die. She hasn't even come to terms with the fact that he's going to die, by the way she's talking.
Mm-hmm.
And Fancy literally is like,
ah. You know, your husband was a good cop. I didn't know him personally, but he was a good cop. But I also have a good cop that needs a heart.
And my favorite moment was, my favorite moment in the conversation is she goes, well, that's a decision he'd make. And he's like, yeah, but legally you can make that decision now?
Yeah.
And I was like, this should be longer. It should, like, Russell should also be there. Like, her family should be there. It should be way more serious. But it was just like, throw Fancy in there and just have him convince her in a minute that it's super cool.
And one of the things that I like about Scrubs, yes, I'm bringing it back to Scrubs.
Scrubs! Everything's about Scrubs.
Okay, don't start with me on that conspiracy, because I can't. But actually, on the next episode that my wife and I are going to watch, it's almost a spin on The Wizard of Oz.
Uh-huh.
Where someone is trying to find their courage that they never knew they had. Someone's trying to find the brain that they never had, that they thought they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them is getting a heart.
Uh-huh.
And Turk is trying to convince this man who has a vegetative son after a car accident to donate his heart to someone else. And they started at the beginning of the episode.
And it goes all the way to the end.
It goes all the way to the end. But you see him be real. Like, he's just like, hey, like, I need your heart for this. And the parents are like, no. But then at the end, he's like, so what? Tell me about your son. Tell me about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually makes a connection with the family.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it turns out the kid's already an organ donor, so.
I'm not saying that it, like, made me really think about organ donation a lot, because I am an organ donor. Mm-hmm. I've always said, if I'm not going to make it, take it out.
Yeah.
Have a good one. But like, what was crazy about this story, at the end of episode 3, they go, his heart is failing. It's not an infection.
It's failing.
It's his heart is failing. And one of the things that kind of annoyed me, that it's so minor, but I'm going to mention it for no reason whatsoever. When Russell said, he's like, I did the angiogram, he has no blockages. And she goes, well, what about the bypass? And I was like, that's what a bypass is for. It's for blockages. It's like, I know that. I know that basic, like, definition. And I was like, okay, she just doesn't understand. It's fine. I'm fine.
But when he looks at her and he goes, his heart is just failing. And she's like, well, what does that mean? He's like, he needs a new one. And you're like, oh, wow. Like, the news of one of the organs that you need just doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's a list of people. They all need one. And you're going to be on that list.
And what surprises me is how short that list
was. In New York,
he's number five.
He was number five.
Oh, he's now number three. Or no, he was four, then three.
Yeah.
You have a direct heart. Wait, so you're number one.
I also loved that scene, too, where Russell and Simone are, like, watching TV, and there's a bunch of commotion outside, and he's like, what's that about, honey? He's like, oh, nothing, nothing. The guy next to him died.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor comes in, like, not reading the room at all. Not reading the room at all. He just is like, hey, you went up to number three. And it was like, bro. Hey, bro. Because then Simone puts it together because he's a detective. He's like, oh, so somebody got off the list then. And looks at the room and you're like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that, I mean, I've already mentioned it, but that scene, when I watched it the first time and I wrote it down in the notes, I was like, this is the funniest scene where Fancy is just like, ah,
yeah,
so, and because she even, like, oh man, I'm going to go over it forever. She even says to him, like, well, he was a good guy, and he was a...
I got even better guy.
like he was shopping for me, and he was trying to stop a robbery, and Fancy's like, okay, so Bobby Simone.
Let me tell you how great this guy is.
Just the tone deafness of that in the whole thing, and because it's from their perspective, so you're supposed to feel for, like, Medavoy, who's hanging on every word when they get a phone call, and Martinez and Kirkendall. But it's like, what about that woman? Like, that woman is experiencing what Russell is, but in a different way, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so rude.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I don't know if you're going to be taking a break for NYPD Blue, but with the new guy coming in and people dealing with Simone, they kind of play it out, the depression and all that, for different characters. And I'll give you this spoiler, because it threw me for a loop. That wife does come back to the show.
I was hoping so.
Yeah.
I was hoping.
And when I saw her, I was like, thank God, because that was so terrible what they did to her. They took her husband's heart, and then the guy died. So then she's like,
where is he? Where's this great cop I heard?
I'm here to meet Bobby. She's drunk. I'm here to meet this Bobby Simone.
He's supposed to be all amazing.
Oh my God, he needs my dude's heart.
It's not like he was going to live after being shot in the head. He could have been burned with the heart.
Oh, man.
And also, I know this, I'm going to derail right now, but what I notice is they brought back Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
As a different character.
Yep.
Couldn't they just do that with Jimmy Smits? There's a background character in there.
Just throw him in here and there. That, oh my gosh, because that case... Oh, man, I wish I remembered the famous faces. Danny Trejo is definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the guy who plays Jacob in Lost, who was also a handful of other things. It's Mark Pellegrino. He was the drunk, drug-using little brother that threw up on Sipowitz.
Yes.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
And even that, seeing Sipowitz afterwards, just break down in the bathroom.
Yeah. Like, that was pretty harsh, too.
It's like he's upset with that, but he's heartbroken for everything going on with Simone, mm-hmm. and he just starts crying while he's, like, topless, obviously.
Yeah. Just
in a sink, like, I'm like, that's a low point for a man.
And another slightly famous face, more, like, famous voice, his older brother, the guy that was balding that hit Sipowitz,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I think I know this dude from something. I didn't, but he's a huge voice actor.
And he's also in Prison Break.
That would make sense. I've never seen Prison Break.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been playing the voice of Two-Face in a lot of shit for a while.
Oh.
Okay. And he's a pretty huge voice actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. And when I saw that, I was like, how much? And you're just scrolling, and you're like, holy crap, he's been mm-hmm. in a lot. Any other famous faces? I don't remember any. But just some of the cases, the two brothers with their mother who committed suicide. there was the Danny Trejo one where a guy gets found killed in a park.
And he's a drug dealer.
Is that the drug dealer one?
He was a drug dealer because he was selling it to a mafia boss's daughter.
Oh, I thought they were prostitutes.
Well, her dad was like he's part of the mafia.
Yeah, he's like an ex-mafia dude because he's like, mm-hmm. I haven't been in trouble for 20-something years.
Because remember the whole thing was like, she's on drugs and that was the dealer.
Oh, maybe. Okay, that makes sense, kind of.
And so the girlfriend was like freaking out, like, I can't tell.
I can't say who it was. Me. And she points at Danny Trejo and his girlfriend, and when they go to talk to him, he's like, no, they were literally having a fight in here.
You see that hole in the wall? That was from them.
Where she is, huge welt on your face, and you're like, why are you openly admitting to hitting this woman?
And they don't even do anything. Follow up or charge. Like, okay, that's not it, we're gone.
Okay.
Not our case anymore.
You hit women, cool. But Sifwitz broke his knife. Like a weirdo. He's like, pfft. Just like, okay, cool, I guess. But that episode has a scene that Kyle and I talked about for a while, because I was like, the implications of that are pretty gross. Because they get the information about Danny Trejo and his girlfriend by interrogating this woman who this guy pointed out to, and Sibowitz at one point grabs her face to get the information, and she goes, that guy's dangerous. When they found out she lied, and then Sibowitz found out that Simone is in the hospital and they have to run a lot of tests, he bursts in and locks the door, and Medavoy and Martinez go through the other door. And he goes, I got this. And they say, no. And he's like, no. And then they turn around and go hard on the woman. And it was like, they just saved that woman from a beating from Sipowitz. And everybody's cool with that. That's just something that happened in this episode.
And you just had a pissed off Medavoy again, acting tough, wearing his big boy pants. I forgot, was he stuttering in that, though?
No.
It's one of the few times where he's tough and he doesn't stutter.
Yeah, Medavoy, it's kind of a bummer for Martinez and Medavoy, and Kirkendall.
Yeah, how'd she get, like, lumped into the B group?
Because, obviously, these episodes are not going to be about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kirkendall gets relegated to, you get to hang out with Russell all the time, and you get to witness her slowly losing it. And then Medavoy and Martinez are, like, running these other cases where it's like, we don't really care, we want to get back to Simone. We want to know what's happening. So, while those cases are very interesting, it's also like, but what's happening?
In the main story.
What are we doing? And it's kind of sucks for them, because they do have good moments, but you're like, I don't care about these moments. I want to get back to the hospital. Because, random question, how long have you and Megan been married?
Just over a year and a half.
Okay. Okay, so they've been married. Well, they've been married about as long
but we're younger than them.
Yeah, so. You're younger.
So pregnancy is a lot safer.
Not the pregnancy. I was talking about imagining your recent newlywed-ish.
Mm-hmm. You gotta remember, we didn't go into the courthouse late and be like, oh no, let the other guys go ahead. They'll be our witnesses.
Yeah.
We'll be theirs. But we did have a whole debacle with getting the legal court. Or, like, the legalized marriage certificate.
I mean, the question still stands. Could you even imagine, because you also don't work with your wife.
I don't.
But just imagine one day, hey, something's going on, we don't even know what it is, and then they just slowly get worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I found myself doing is constantly, like, sympathizing with Russell, because I was like, God, you're really not understanding these doctors.
Mm-hmm.
The one that pissed me off, really, was in the episode we watched, when he's like, Swan's like, we really need to consider this neurologist, and she's like, well, does anybody's expertise even matter? And he goes, like, of course it does. And
mine matters.
Well, he says, of course it does, because that's a stupid thing to say. Like, does the expertise matter when dealing with a dying person?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, well, don't yell at me. He's like, you're the one. I'm trying to help. Like,
I think it's also her grieving the fact that they followed all these processes of what he said. After this, he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterwards, oh, I want to do this. Like, let's make sure. I think there could be a little bit of doubt in her mind saying, like, maybe you screwed up at some point.
Yeah. And that's why this episode, I think, is also extra worse. It opens with him putting his shirt on to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, cool, he's leaving. Like, finally, we're going to come to the end of this. They open up the shirt.
There's a little leakage.
He goes in for something. He comes back. And then he's obviously worse and has a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, holy crap, what happened in the last couple hours? Like, where are we? So the next time she sees this guy, she's like a real, real mean to him, I would say. Very short and rude with him. It's like, I want to talk to Carreras, who isn't the lead. He isn't a specialized. But yeah, I was like, I kept telling myself, I was like, well, imagine it's your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine it's your wife. Imagine you've been through all this.
Yeah.
And also imagine you don't understand a lot of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's hard. I don't know. Because even when I was in the hospital with my dad, I was like, I would never act like this when things didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't, like, blame them. I'd be like, you're doing your job. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm so confused.
I do have a little concerns because my wife is going back into the hospital setting.
Mm-hmm.
And in these times of the COVID pandemic...
That COVID!
Yep. I have concerns that she'll catch it.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
She does have asthma.
Ooh.
So, my concerns are, if she does get it, how bad is it going to get?
Even with vaxxed, because it's...
Exactly.
It brings down the symptoms, but...
Mm-hmm.
What symptoms are going to be bad.
Exactly. So I have concerns about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be sniffles or if she is going to have to go into the hospital.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to take the best care of myself. And I know she does too. And honestly, if I'm at that point where she is in the hospital, I may not make sense. I may be like, well, what? Why isn't this? Like, I may get a little aggressive because... It's not the fact that I don't know. It's the fact that there's...
You can't process.
I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that waiting game of like, oh no, we're doing this. We're going to say, but what else can we do right now? Like, you just don't know.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, I can't imagine. Because that's something that... That's also what makes me think like, oh, is this trying to be a medical drama spinoff? Because there's so much... about the drama between doctors and normal people that I was like, are we turning into a different show? which is fine, I guess, but when watching it as like a five episode piece, like if it was a movie, it's really the main point of it is like how people are dealing with grief, loss, and the unknown. Because, I mean, you're watching it for the first time. You knew he was not going to make it out. But mm-hmm. you're like, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
And you're like, are they going to do this? Because I told you, what I gave away too much of, and I felt bad for this, I was like, it looks bad, and then it gives you hope, and then it's just a rocket train to the bottom. to the bottom. And that's exactly what this does. It's like, oh, he needs a new heart. You know what? We beat the odds. We got him a heart. Using the entire New York police force, by the way, to get it. Where they're like, hey, any fresh hearts out there?
Someone dies, someone commits suicide, something don't happen.
Yeah, you know, if a guy's running away, and you know he's not a drug user, maybe, you know, maybe you saw a gun. I don't know.
And that goes along with police brutality.
So it was... That was one question I asked my brother in a very, very dark moment of humor. I was like, so these cops that, like, know Bobby and really like Bobby.
Would they have taken the shot?
Yeah. Are they going around like,
how can we jam up a guy?
Maybe we're just a little more aggressive than usual for the next couple of days. Or I was like, and he's like, well, probably not. I'm like, because if you remember, the guy who gave that speech, I think it's the beginning of episode 4, where the cops in the precinct are just mm-hmm. having a speech where he's like, we have somebody who has heart problems. Here's what you need to look for. Nobody shot in the chest. Nobody who's a drug user. Recently dead within an hour. Call these numbers. I was like, the guy who gave that speech is a known drunk. He's the guy mm-hmm. that Sipowicz went to and said, I need your bottle.
What do you mean I got a bottle? I know you got a bottle. Where is it at?
Where is it at?
I need it.
He's upstairs. He needs some drink to give his statement, so give it to me. And it's like, that's the guy who gave the speech. So how many guys out there are like, Simone's more important than that guy?
Let's just off him.
And, I mean, Sipowicz had that same struggle. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say.
Oh, that's right. We got to talk about this.
Let's talk.
Because I know you haven't listened to the podcast. My brother and I had a full-on argument about the dumbest thing.
Okay.
One of these episodes.
Let me break the tie.
I think you'll agree with me, but I don't know. So, in the very first episode, there's a case where a girl comes in and says she was raped. And when they go to the doctor's office, the guy's sleeping mm-hmm. in one of the rooms. And because you watch Scrubs, I assume you're aware. Yes. He's probably in residency. He says, I have 40 minutes to sleep before 36 more hours of work. And I said, well, I mean, he could have been cooler about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a girl who comes in who says she's been assaulted. Sure, he did his job, but then she ran away. He can answer a couple of questions about what he remembers. Mm-hmm. And my brother is going to, I assume, get upset with the way I say his point. His point was, no, those cops acted like bitches. He was just trying to get the only break he's gonna get, and they harshed him for no reason. And we had, like, maybe a 15-minute straight argument about this.
Okay.
Because I was like, Kyle, if you're a doctor, or if you're in a residency, and you only get 40 minutes to sleep before another couple hours of work, you know that your sleep system is fucked anyway. And you're dealing with a very serious crime. And sure, the girl left before you can get the rape kit. But the least you can do is answer questions. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. He was in there. Lights were off. They turn the lights on. They give him shit for not wanting to wake up to answer their questions. They're being assholes about it. And I was like, dude, it's about a rape. He's like, not really, because she left after making the accusations. For all he knows, it was a lie. It's like, then tell them that when they get there and ask questions. He's acting like, I'm done talking to you. And we had 15 straight minutes. Your thoughts on that situation?
So, as you said, I watched Scrubs.
Yes.
I actually know someone who is in residency right now.
Oh, shit.
And I do understand the need for that sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, Kirk. I'm actually going to side.
Damn it! That's impossible. It's impossible. Just answer some questions. Okay. Well, will you agree with me with this? Because if you remember the whole scene,
mm-hmm.
they come in. They ask like two questions. The guy's like, and he answered them. Okay. He said mm-hmm. he was still had his pillow on his head, but he said. I think she's like 15, 16. She came in saying that a big black guy assaulted her. There was bruising around her vaginal region. I went to go get a rape kit. She was gone when I came back.
Mm-hmm.
Then they asked him, like, did it seem like it was a real accusation? And he's like, who knows? And then they turned on the light and they're like, look, you called us. We have to ask you questions. And then he's like, I got 40 minutes of sleep. I think if that dude... on the first question, sat up and said, hey, I don't have a lot of information for you. Here's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then laid back down. Totally cool. Totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the attitude of, I don't know, let's turn off the light. I was like, that's going to make them turn on the light on you. Because it's a very serious thing. If you acknowledged how serious it was, instead of just brushing them off, you mm-hmm. wouldn't be woken up with the lights on.
I personally think that if anything, he could have written it down, like had given a statement saying, like, this is what happens.
Oh, yeah.
And if he did that, then pretty much what they were doing was just aggressive.
Yeah, if he had the time, too. Because, I mean, exactly. I assume he's super busy.
And it depends. He was working in the emergency room, right?
Like, I don't know. I think so. I think he had to be.
And those floors are always coming and going. They have to be alert and ready, so.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So, at least if he had time to give in a statement, would have eased his time. But the fact that he didn't, a little bit harder. They could have accepted it at face value. Be like, okay, like, when he is up, can you give us a call at this number?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, like, no, we need to know now. I'm like, oh, a little aggressive, a little aggressive.
Okay, I mean, okay. Look, okay, you just like so I we said. Have it on the record. Just so we have it on the record. Kyle, Ben, don't take rape seriously. Anyway, continuing.
That is not the case.
You know, I feel like Megan should know this, you know, before...
Don't you bring my wife in on this. But then also, you gotta remember, too, she did run away. And her reasoning was, I didn't want evidence to get back to my mom's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's an initial fear right there. She has a good fear.
Yeah, the whole story... Because it was a Kirkendall-Russell joint. Usually the female... allegation ones are.
Mm-hmm.
That's just usually how it turns out. It makes sense.
No Medavoy on that case?
Surprisingly. They don't trust Medavoy to be.
I've seen him seduce so many women already.
We don't put Medavoy with the 16-year-old girls, surprisingly. What creeped me out and made me annoyed was how that mother immediately was like, well, she seduced him. And I'm like, you're not understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Even if your 16-year-old daughter tried to seduce your adult boyfriend, if your boyfriend took that seduction, you gotta get rid of him.
Yeah.
That's a goodbye situation immediately. Doesn't matter what your daughter did.
If anything, that mom should have had the same response as Stanley from The Office. It was Ring Your Daughter Work Day. Stanley brought a 16-year-old, and she's making moves on Ryan.
That's right. You must be outside of your mind.
If you are, I will help you find it. Did we talk about Numb and Number?
That was the one with...
Oh, yeah, the drunk cop. No, that's Cop in a Bottle.
That's Cop in a Bottle. Numb and Number is the one with the woman who lied about the mafia guy.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, a good... like, because in that episode, a couple things happened that I'm now remembering. One... Medavoy stands up to Sipowicz. Not Medavoy, I'm sorry. Martinez stands up to Sipowicz and said, like, look, making us miserable doesn't change the fact that you're upset. And, like, you don't need to do this. And then Sipowicz has that, like, real dude sorry moment where he shakes his hand downstairs, which is like, hey, apologies. Where it's like, you could say more words. There was also the one where the mafia guy is trying to protect his daughter... Because when his daughter finally lets it slip, you think, oh my god, Medavoy's going to go in there and beat his ass. Because he was about to beat the woman's ass. And when he just walks in, he's like, did she talk to you? And he's like, yeah. And then the guy just explains it like, my daughter left the house. She never listened to me. Can't believe this is what her life led to. I couldn't just watch her do that. And then he's like, put it on me. I've been nothing since my wife left anyway.
And as he's, like, saying, oh, this, yep, me, that was me.
That one was pretty...
That one's a hard one, because, obviously, like, he does everything for the best interest of his daughter.
Yeah.
But, isn't there a point where you need to cut the cord? There's a point where, like, a parent has to be like, you need to face this. Like, I'm trying to help you as best as I can, but you need the help.
Yeah, there's been... And I, this is like a, and this might be completely cut out because it's just a societal conversation that has no answer or ending. But I mean, I'm 31. I don't feel 31. I feel 16.
You dress like you're 16.
Thank you. But when I think about, I lived with my dad for a while, but I paid rent.
Mm-hmm.
I dealt with my own work, insurance and whatnot, my own car. But one thing that I did notice dealing with other people my age was because of the economy, which we can all blame, because of other...
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, it's Obama's fault. Because of all the shit that we've been going through just as a society, like, the age that you cut people off has changed so much
mm-hmm.
that when you're watching like NYPD Blue and you're like, oh, what, she's 24? Yeah, of course she's still at home. But then like you have other moments where you're like, oh yeah, this is also at a time where like...
when you're 18, you were kicked out of the house.
And some people still do that.
Kind of messed up, but...
and you can't really blame them, but you understand kind of this... everybody has to decide, like, this is the moment that my child is not my responsibility anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to let what happens to them happen to them.
Yeah.
And that was just a one... that was just an episode where it's like, the moment he gets involved is the moment where he murders a dude who was taking advantage of his daughter.
And her addiction.
And did he do something wrong? Yeah. He's obviously going to be punished for it. But just like... the one time he's just like, oh, I've got to find out where my daughter is, and then this happens. And then when who's responsible comes out, he's like, I'll just take it. Mm-hmm. I got nothing left anyway since my wife died. It was a hard one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's this episode or the one before it, but it has that moment where it must be Cop in a Bottle, where Sipowicz sees Simone in the hospital and they keep saying, but you feel more comfortable.
I think it was at the end of Cop in a Bottle.
And they say that because they don't ask him if he's feeling better. They ask him, are you feeling more comfortable? And he says, yeah, I'm more comfortable. Yeah, I'm more comfortable. And then as him and Russell leave, they hold hands. And she's like, does he look any better? And he just says, he feels more comfortable. And then they start crying in the elevator. And I remember at the end of episode 2, I was like, oh, they're starting already? There's like 3 more episodes. And then oh my God, it happened so early. At the end of... episode 3, they have the dream sequence where Bobby goes back to the office.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, this is the last time Bobby's ever there. I was also thinking like, oh, the first time people watch this, they may not understand that this is him, because he wakes up in the hospital. This is him making amends with his job. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not coming back here. I'm not going back to see Sipowicz in the locker room. We're not going to talk about our days anymore. And I was like, oh, wow, that's harsh. And then the episode 4 opens with the dream that Russell has, where she's like trying to get into his shower because she did that a lot.
He's like, yeah, room? He's like, I'm okay.
And then that really awkward thing that I didn't even notice until like the third time watching it, where like he's staring at her through the shower curtain,
mm-hmm.
and you're like,
are you expecting her to go all psycho on you tonight? Or is this why you have clear shower curtains, Kirk?
Yeah. I don't have clear shower curtains anymore. That was 1 year. And it was fine. Everybody was fine. If you go in there staring at people showering, that's on you.
And how often did you do that?
Never.
We'll ask his roommates about this later. But I would say it was nice to see those, at least those two characters, have those dream sequences.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, this is him with that. And he didn't even think about Russell. It was just like, oh, this is my job, that's it. But Russell's thinking about him. What does that say about their marriage?
Well, it was, I mean, one of my thoughts, just because, I mean, I'm not close to my first marriage, let alone possibly having a second one. For any reason, death or otherwise. But I'm like, how is that going to be when Russell goes? Is she just going to show up and be like, hey, so I was also with him, so we just going to hang out? We cool? Like, because, I mean, you can tell Bobby had a rough time. He, if you remember the story of him with his ex-wife, or his dead wife, he took an easier job just so that he could be with her while she's going through the treatments, and then eventually she comes to them, and then after taking some time off, then he's like, I want to get back into being a detective. I want that promotion. He gets that promotion, turns out he's a badass detective, makes friends, blah, 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 blah. But he suffered with that wife just like Russell's suffering with him.
Mm-hmm.
So in the grand scheme of like an afterlife, hanging out with family members that existed on Earth, didn't exist on Earth, obviously, it'll be cordial. They're not going to have fights. But, like, just the idea of, like, wow, this is what I went through. What did you go through with me? It's like, I'm going to be honest, towards the end there, after the seizure, I was just talking to Patsy. I don't really remember half the things I said to you. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a whole lot going on in my brain.
We're talking about my pigeons, pigeons. It was just pigeons.
talking about my time in Catholic school. It was a very interesting idea of like, okay, well, his ex-wife, his current wife, well, how does that happen? But now the question is, you got through those five.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to keep watching? It's question number one.
It's a hard one.
You can, or not, if you want to.
I will, just so I can be on the podcast.
I'm not going to say it gets, like, tremendously worse without him there. I'm not going to say that, because there are great moments with Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
There's really good moments with Mark Paul Gosselaar's character, who I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. But it is, like, and I mentioned it while watching it, it's the only episode to go to a whiteout.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time they ever found it necessary to do that. Other characters die. I'm not going to say who.
Martinez.
Not going to say who.
It's fancy.
But other characters go. Other characters die. They never go to a whiteout. It's never as momentous and insane as this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst it gets.
Yeah.
In terms of loss. But yeah, I do think that Danny, is he as good as Simone as a character? No. But he's going to have his moments, and especially Sipowicz with him is going to have moments.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll try. I know what I was watching MASH.
Yeah,
and then at one of the seasons, like when they started up, one of the main characters, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, what happened? It's like, oh, he went home. It's like, there wasn't even like a finale or anything. It's just, he's gone. I liked his banter. I liked him. It's like, I don't know who this new guy is. Like, and I just got turned off mm-hmm. from it altogether. I was like, I can't finish the series. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way that they did it in here, I think I might continue it just because they put so much great attention for Jimmy Smits's character in this.
Yeah.
That knowing that no one will be able to be as good as him in the show, but you still have Sipowicz there.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this, like, from here on out, he's just shaping all the detectives that come in. He's trying to help refine their character.
And, yeah, and also, the one thing we didn't talk about yet that I thought I picked up while watching it, like, the third time back when I was talking with Kyle, when Simone grabs his son's hand in the dream, and then you pull out and it's Sipowicz, I think that was almost the writers and producers going, look, we were going to ride Simone to having a family. We were going to ride Simone to being like, he's a family man. He's got his son. We were going to watch his son grow up. And now we're passing that torch. We're passing the future of the show to Sipowicz.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's sticking around. He's been around this whole time. He's still very, very interesting as a character. He's also, really, when you think about it, no offense to Simone, but Sipowicz has, like, the real arcs.
He does.
Like, Sipowicz is the one where it's like, oh, wow, he's dealing with his racism problems. He's dealing with his drinking.
He's dealing with his prostrate.
he's dealing with his own health. He, even though his son died, his ex-wife now is presenting another area that he's going to have to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And he has Theo, who is his son. So it makes sense, like, okay, well, Simone's going. We got to pass it over to Sipowicz. He's got to be the focus. I remember when I watched it the third time, I was like, I mean, what a good move, because Sipowicz rides it to another six more seasons. So it's like, they did a decent job. There's a season where Simone, or Smits and Franz were both up for the same Emmy.
Oh.
So, I mean, to find out, okay, one of those guys wants to leave, you're like, of course it's not going to get better than this. Like, we mm-hmm. had a great chemistry. We had this great characters to go off each other. We're going to have to pick up the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they hitched their horse to Simone. I mean, not Simone. Sipowicz. So, yeah, I imagined, like, I was like, oh, man. It's also a good stopping point, I think.
It is.
Because if you're not ride or die with the NYPD Blue, it's like, when you first see Sorensen, I'm not saying his episodes are bad right off the bat, they're pretty good. But when you get to that moment, you're like, do I really want... And also, you're almost like, do I want this to happen again? Like, mm-hmm. am I going to have three seasons of a guy, and I'm going to love it, and then they're going to kill him off so slowly, and I get to watch all of it? it's harsh.
The only reason I would stick around is just to see Metaboy try to put on his big pants, big boy pants, and get angry.
And
smack a guy around.
And I've said the spoiler, Metaboy's around the entire time.
I know.
He makes it to the end, which I think is very commendable, because the only other person to do it is Sipowitz.
Look at their skin color.
Kirkendall didn't make it.
Oh, spoiler there.
Well, yeah, they...
Well, she's a woman, too.
Well, she also didn't start.
That's true.
She was... She replaced Lekalsi, or Lesniak? She replaced... Lesniak?
Was she the one that was interested in Martinez? No.
Martinez was interested in her.
Yes.
And then she pretended to be a lesbian. In that very, very...
awkward transition. And then the season started and she was gone.
Where they were like, oh my gosh, the 90s. There's a... I'll give you a slight spoiler, I guess. The episode that I'm going to be noting next, that I'm going to record with Kyle, there's a transgender character in it. Not physically. They mention her. And the way they deal with that is not very...
PC.
Cool. and when they bring it up, you're like, oh, shit, how is this going to go? Anyway, thanks again for talking about NYPD Blue. Thank you for watching it.
Thank you for coming over and showing me the full length of it.
And I'll take this moment to, once again, harsh language, fuck Amazon. Because I did buy this season on Amazon, and I can't watch it. It says it's unavailable. No idea why.
All that money went to...
Bezos, to his fucking rocket. And
the rocket to the moon.
You know what?
And his super yacht. Can't forget that.
Bezos, come back down and get me NYPD Blue. You have one job. And, I mean, obviously... I wouldn't begrudge you for taking a break. I hope you keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's worth it. But, yeah, thank you for enduring the death of Simone. Mm-hmm. Unless you have anything else to say about it. Besides, welcome to future fatherhood.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. That's hilarious, though. Well, I cried because of his child. It's like, okay. Yeah, because I'm going to have one.
Yeah. Just dropping it.
Oh, my God.
Make an announcement.
Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll get you for the Sorensen years. They're a wild, weird story from what I remember.
We'll see if we could pick up any anti-vaxxer propaganda in those episodes.
Oh, man. He has moments already. I think we've only done like 10. He's had moments where his character says some things, and I was like, that's not too different than how he is now. But have a good one, everybody.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Ball, specifically Binge with Ben. I appreciate it. I know Ben does too. If you need to watch NYPD Blue, it is currently on Hulu, but as we mentioned in this and part one, they do have edited versions of the episodes, and Amazon doesn't have the full versions anymore, so you might have to get them DVDs if you want the full effect. That's, of course, your decision. There's a couple of books out there, What Would Sipowitz Do?, a collection of articles about the show True Blue, written about the first couple seasons, and then there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for, I believe, 99 cents. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. And it's important to know, usually the release schedule is every other Tuesday. Right now we're getting into the holiday season. My brother and I both work in retail, and my computer is doing some strange things. I'm going to try my best to get you guys the episodes every other Tuesday. It's going to get difficult. Please hang in there with us. Have a good rest of your day, your week, your holidays, your year. Wear a mask, be safe, get vaccinated. Peace.